Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Well, I think a lot of couples settle for good enough. That's better than a bad marriage.
I'm sorry.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, after years of skyrocketing divorce rates, it appears that more and more married couples are actually deciding against divorcing. Well, that's good news. However, it seems that too many husbands and wives would describe their marriages today as, well, just okay or good enough, but they wouldn't go so far as to say they have a great marriage. Well, a good friend of mine is on a mission to change all that. His name is Dr. Dave Stoop, and he's encouraging married couples to do more than just hold on to a marriage that really isn't going anywhere. Well, during the next half hour, I'll talk with Dave about what it takes to make a good marriage great. Keep it right here. Homeward starts right now. Well, marriage is important. When you think about the parenting season, if you are married and you're parenting children, then if you don't make your marriage a priority, your parenting is going to suffer. And today here on the Homeward broadcast, some sage advice from a guy who's been a real mentor to Dr. Jim Burns, and that would be Dr. David Stoop. He has a book called Better Than Ever, and we're going to talk during this next half hour about making a good marriage great. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, I'm Roger Marsh, and welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. Remember, become a fan of APU on Facebook, and you can also watch videos, learn about upcoming events, and read about current students' experiences. That's facebook.com/Azusa Pacific. Now let's get into part one of today's edition of the Homeward broadcast, Making a Good Marriage Great. Here's Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, a very special guest, and actually a special friend of mine. His name is Dr. David Stoop. We're talking about making a good marriage great. Yes, that's possible. If you have a good marriage, you can make it great. If you have a marriage that is struggling, then stay tuned because we have some great, great, great input for you today. You know, too many couples are settling for, well, good enough in their marriages. However, with a little extra effort, you can take your marriage from good to great. I'm convinced of that. I know Dr. David Stoop is as well. Dave Stoop, popular speaker, author of many books, great books. Some of my favorite, Forgiving the Unforgivable, Making Peace with Your Father, Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves. Founder and director of the Center for Family Therapy in Newport Beach, California. Married to Jan for, well, 50 years, and a wonderful, wonderful person, wonderful wife, 3 grown sons, and a handful of grandchildren. Welcome back to our program.
Hey, great to be here,
Jim. It's been too long. We're so glad you're here. You know, you've got a new book out. It's called Better Than Ever. It's just come out, 7 Secrets to Making a Good Marriage Great. As I looked through it, I went, once again, wow, he's talking the language that we all need to hear. You know, in many ways, the theme of today's program, obviously, is making a good marriage great. In spite of what we read in the news, the fact is a majority of first marriages actually stay together. Are you suggesting that these couples are settling for kind of good enough, even though they've been married and not gotten a divorce, instead of a great marriage?
Well, I think a lot of couples settle for good enough. That's better than a bad marriage. And they don't know where to go or where to take it to the next level, and so they just kind of settle in. And then you've got kids, and when you've got kids, that takes a lot of energy. And and by the time your kids are gone, you kind of look at each other and remember each other's name, but that's about it, you know, sometimes. So I think the priorities have to stay that the marriage is the focus. Even when you've got kids, you've got to reserve time for that marriage relationship because there's nothing more important.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of our listeners will write us or talk to me at different things, and they'll say, when you talk about priorities, you have God, your spouse, your children, and then your vocation. But they almost always say, I know that I'm supposed to do that, but right now it's a child-focused marriage like crazy, or my husband or my wife are so involved in their vocation that we're getting it all confused. And of the 4 priorities that I just mentioned, they seem to kind of let the marriage priority go.
Yeah.
Well, why?
Well, it's tyranny of the urgent. You know, the kids are demanding, and they take the energy. And then then you watch what parents do. I watch what my kids do with their kids, you know. I think in this last week, I've been to a flag football game, I've been to 2 soccer games and to a volleyball game, you know. And that's just the grandparents, and we didn't get it to all of it. So I watched one of my kids just put a limit on things and say, no, you can only do one thing.
Yeah.
because they want to have time as a family, and then they want to have time for their marriage. And I think that's what couples have to do, because you're going to be done with the kids at a certain point. And then you look at each other, and it's like, now what?
Yeah.
And you've got to be ready for that.
No, you're right. You know, this generation is so overcommitted and underconnected, and it seems like they are because they're getting their kids involved in so many activities. So I think that's a very good idea. At the same time, you know, a lot of us didn't have, you know, the perfect marriage role models as we were growing up or whatever. And I remember that you once said that, you know, hey, you've been married for now a half a century, but you called your first 10 years of marriage, what the great
the
tribulation.
Great tribulation, yeah. Yeah, we haven't read any of the prophecy books because we've already been through the great tribulation.
what was that like, and
well,
how did
we
you move it?
We were pretty young and when we got married. And then I tell the story in the book where I was involved with a parachurch youth ministry, and in the training they said, men, you're now married to the ministry, you
right.
know, and that was the mindset back then. That's right. still a mindset with some right. people right. in ministry, unfortunately. Right. But I was pretty dumb and naive, so I not only bought it, I came home and told Jan, you know, I'm now married to the ministry. And she said, oh, I thought you were married to me. Well, it took about 8-9 more years, you know, and it took a good mentor, a pastor mentor, who just really spent time with me and got my priorities straightened around to where my wife became number one in the human sphere, and ministry came after my kids, just like the order you gave. And I really, you know, I made that change. And when I made that change, there's a dramatic change in our
yeah.
marriage.
You know, it's interesting because that's my story too. I remember having to go back to Kathy and say, and it was funny, we said 10 years. I don't know if that was a magic number, but I had to go back to her and just simply say, you know what, Kathy, I need to apologize for the first 10 years of our marriage because I put my focus and my emphasis on our ministry and not as much on you.
Yeah. Well,
and I regret that.
And see, it doesn't have to be ministry. It can be career.
Yeah,
I mean, the
sure.
guy can pour himself
yeah.
into his career
right.
and forget that, you know, there's a point when the marriage is going to demand the attention and you haven't prepared for it.
No, it's so true. Now, one of the things you talk about is how we want to make sure that we kind of identify with the basics in the area of moving from a good marriage to a great marriage. And one of the foundational issues that you talk about is actually very scriptural. It's leaving and cleaving.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? At many weddings, it was said, you know, the man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife,
yeah.
and the two will become one, or be united with his
yeah.
wife, however they, if they're using, depending
Genesis,
on what...
Yeah,
what,
which version.
Yeah, which version. But what does that actually mean, and why is that so important?
Well, see, the big mistake is that that's just aimed at the man. And if you understand Genesis 2, written in a patriarchal culture where the woman left her family and became part of the man's family. So she's already leaving and cleaving to the man. And so God is saying, now the man's got to do the same thing. I just saw that just recently in a counseling session with somebody where the mother, the wife's mother, has been her priority all of her married life, and her marriage has suffered. And she has to, and it's because the mother's very manipulative and hanging on to her. And I said, you know, you've never left your family so that you could cleave to your husband, and your marriage has suffered because of that. And so rather than, you know, how do I fix my marriage, it's, boy, you gotta finally grow up and separate from mom. I ask people, you know, how old do you feel on the inside when you're around your parents? And, you know, I get anywhere from 5 to 15. And that's sad because that means you haven't left yet.
Isn't that interesting?
You're still tied to that family. You're still the little kid when you go home. And your spouse knows that. And then your spouse does the same thing when they go home. And you know that because it's like, you know, you're still tied back there. And it's not that you reject your family or make them bad. You simply, it's that shifting of priority again.
Right. No, that makes sense.
The spouse is the most important thing.
It's interesting. When I read that in your book, Better Than Ever, 7 Secrets to Making a Good Marriage Great, I actually remembered a time when I first got married. Kathy and I had a tough first year, and I would find myself 9 miles away from home. I would find myself going home just to be with mom and dad. Now, I wouldn't tell them that we'd been in a fight or an argument.
Yeah.
I'd just sort of show up, and Kathy may not even know that I was leaving. I didn't say in a huff, I'm leaving. I would just sort of show up there because they gave me strength.
Mm-hmm.
But it really
comfort.
Wasn't. Exactly.
Yeah.
I open the refrigerator. There's the same things that are always there. The candy jar, things like that. When Kathy and I moved across the country to go to graduate school, I think that's really when I was almost forced to
mm-hmm.
leave and cleave because I wasn't really doing it all that well
yeah.
before. And so sometimes people really need to proactively just make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Tough for the person who perhaps is emotionally tied into their mom or dad or tied into them. You know, I'm thinking about mm-hmm. some of our listeners who are kind of the sandwich generation, where
mm-hmm.
they're taking care of their kids, but they're also taking care of their parents. What do you say to them? I mean, you can't just say, fine, they need to
Well, you know, it's not the idea of taking care of them that's the problem. It's that emotional connection.
Okay.
And it's that still feeling like the little kid on the inside when you're around them, and that they have this authority position over me and can, you know, they're the bigger influence in my life than my spouse is. And my spouse knows that, see. So it's being able to say no to them and yes to the spouse.
Yeah, no, that's very important.
Yeah, certainly is. And that we've got to make our marriages a priority. If you want your marriage to be healthy, you have to make it a priority. And that's not easy to do in today's culture that is so child-focused and kid-driven. Today here on the Homeward Broadcast, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns getting a little bit of time in studio with his friend and mentor, Dr. Dave Stoop. Dave's the author of the book Better Than Ever. We have a link up to it on our website today. Our theme is making a good marriage great. By the way, if you want to make your marriage even better, take advantage of the devotional opportunities that are published for you in Dr. Jim Burns' book, Closer, a book that he wrote with his wife, Kathy. This is the devotional book for couples who don't like to do devotions. If you want information on how you can order a copy of this book and support the Ministry of Homeward at the same time, check us out online at homeward.com.
If you're looking for an effective way to make some positive changes in your marriage, let me encourage you to nurture more than you nag. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. I remember talking with a woman one time who had a conflict in her marriage. She admitted that she liked to unload her burdens on her husband whenever they entered her mind. There's a word for that kind of communication. It's called nagging. And quite frankly, it just doesn't work. My advice to her was to write down all the times she felt frustrated during her day, but not to share them with her husband when he first got home. Save them for another time when they could have good conversation, but instead, greet him when he got home from work with a hug and at least a 15-second kiss, followed by a great meal. We'll repeat this procedure for a couple of days and see how he responds. Sure enough, a week later, she called to tell me how much more involved her husband had become in her own life simply because she started setting a positive and peaceful tone at home. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Tips for Creating an Intimate Marriage, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
If you're looking for a way to improve the level of intimacy in your marriage, be sure to visit our online resource center at homeward.com. You'll find a number of helpful resources there, including the curriculum packet for Dr. Jim Burns' best-selling book, Creating an Intimate Marriage. Learn more when you go to homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about making a good marriage great. Dr. Dave Stoop with us today, popular speaker, author of many great books, founder and director of the Center for Family Therapy in Newport Beach, California. Perhaps you hear him on New Life Live, the radio program. He's often on that. He's been married to his wife, Jan, for over 50 years, and they've got three grown kids and a whole host of grandchildren. Dave, right before the break, we were talking about kind of leaving and cleaving, but another one of the basics that you talk about, and I think this is hard for some people. Maybe they weren't raised in a kind of home like this, but the importance of comforting, nurturing, humoring, and even playing with our spouses. I want you to comment on that.
We often forget the playing. I think that's the first one to go in my experience with couples is that, you know, life gets too serious. And one of the things in courtship is you play a lot. You have fun and you enjoy each other. And then life gets serious and you lose that aspect of it. And if you lose that one, you start to lose the other issues as well. Again, it's focus. It's making sure that you have the time. You take some time to spend, you know, to focus in on your spouse. And it doesn't take that much time. What Jan and I did, we went through some very difficult years. You remember those years with one of our kids. My week would end on Thursday night, my late Thursday night, and on Friday morning we would head to the beach for breakfast, and we would just sit there for 2 hours, and it was our time to be together and to catch up. And it wasn't a time to plan necessarily. It had no agenda, except there was no agenda. And that was, I think, part of what got us through some of those difficult times. What I get couples to do, I say, take 15 minutes after the meal at your dinner and just sit and talk to each other. Tell the kids to go play, go do their homework, or, you know, don't even touch the dishes. Just sit at the table, have another cup of coffee, talk about your day. Don't talk about anything heavy. Don't solve problems. Just check in with each other. That's the kind of focus. See, that gives you the nurture, the connection, And then if you plan the times to play, you know, couples have date night. What do? They go to the movie and they sit and watch a screen. Big deal. That's really together time, you know. Go for a walk on the beach. Sit down at a restaurant and go late so you can just kind of sit there until they close and talk, you know. And because the foundation of a healthy marriage is a good friendship. And if we don't nurture that friendship, we will lose it, and then the other pieces start to unravel as well.
Friendship. I mean, some people say that they married their best friend, but other people say, I don't feel safe with my spouse because, you know, they're always nagging at me or they're being critical or whatever. And I really don't feel like we're all that good of friends. What you're saying is we need to be intentional about it.
You got to be intentional.
You play with your friends.
Yeah. And you talk to your friends, your kibitz, you know, with your friends. And so there, you get a great word there, intentionality. And it's that choosing to do the little things. And that takes it out of the realm of, oh, it's so big, I can't do it. You know, it's something any couple can do. And I've watched relationships dramatically change just with that 15 minutes a day.
Yeah, no, and that's a great piece of advice. Actually, I must have got that from you because I've been telling people that as well. I was speaking to some, this last week, I was speaking to a bunch of youth workers and their spouses.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you would take 15 minutes a day, it would revolutionize. Mm-hmm. One of the people came up to me afterwards, and it's actually, you talk a lot about this in your book, and they said, if we take 15 minutes, there's so much tension in our family right now that we do conflict and we don't do conflict well. Somehow, if you're going to make a marriage go from good to great or not so good to better, somehow you got to get a hold of dealing with conflict healthy. How do you do that?
Well, one thing is that 15 minutes is not a time for conflict.
Right.
It's just a time for chit-chat and how was your day? What happened? You know, it's just the check-in time. Conflict, there's several things about conflict. One of the things about conflict is that the argument's really never about the argument. What you're arguing about is safe, probably, and there's an issue that's underneath that argument that isn't safe to talk about, and that's why it never gets resolved. In fact, one of the chapters in the book is the problem's not the problem, because interesting statistic from the research, 69% of the problems in bad marriages never get resolved. And the statistic for good marriages, great marriages, 69% of the problems never get resolved. It's the same statistic. It's just that people in good marriages have learned how to have fun with the problem, to laugh about it, to talk about it, to dialogue about it, not to get into an escalated conflict, because it's like, hey, we've been around this mountain so many times, do we want to go around it again? Let's do it differently.
Well, you know, it was fascinating when I read that in your book, unresolved conflict is not really necessarily the issue, because with Kathy, I could disagree with her, but I can kind of agree to disagree and say, okay, fine, we're going to agree to disagree and let's go have fun doing it. That's a tough thing to do for a lot of people.
Well, you know, if you can begin to look beyond the conflict, like if you're arguing about money, the argument's not really about money. It's probably about power, because whoever runs the money has the power. If you're arguing about your in-laws, then you're not arguing about your in-laws. You're probably arguing about some loyalty issues and where the priorities are, you know. So if you begin to see that, you know, what we're arguing about is not what we're arguing about, and we need to stop a minute. Sometimes it's, you know, something I've wanted in my life all my life, and now I feel like you're holding me back. It can be something like that. And, you know, what's the hidden agenda in the argument? So you got to slow down. You got to learn to listen. There's just basic things that...
How do you get there? When you say that makes so much sense. But how does a typical couple who's, you know, going through some of the conflict, how do they sit down for that 15 minutes or sometimes longer, obviously, and say, okay, now I understand. We've been arguing about the in-laws, but it's a loyalty issue. Well, what if that's not even in their mind?
Well, you know, here's the interesting experiment. Switch sides in an argument. You know, if you're the husband, take the wife's side, and if the wife, take the husband's side. And I've had couples do this, and they do it perfectly. So it's not a question of not knowing what the other person is saying or wanting. There's something else going on there. So you've got to do some searching on your own to say, you know, what's being threatened here when I get caught up in that would be one of the questions you could ask. One of the things that I think so important for a couple who wants to have a great marriage is that they find a mentor couple that's older, that's been there, that's doing well, who will spend some time with them. They don't have to be with them every weekend, you know. But if you're together every couple months for an evening, you're talking honestly about what's going on, and they're being honest with you, that can be the most powerful thing that you brought into your marriage relationship. And being willing to do that says, my marriage is number one.
No, I think that's important. And I don't think that you even have to go to somebody and say, will you be my mentor? You could just say, could we have dinner together, and turn it almost into a mentoring session.
Exactly.
Because some people say, well, I don't want to be a mentor. We don't have it enough together.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just sort of start taking time periodically to have those conversations over a time period, you know, they do become your mentors.
Yeah.
And obviously there's other programs where people go through books like yours together with, you know, their mentor couple or whatever, and that's beneficial.
But, you know, couples say, well, you know, I can't afford counseling. And counseling obviously is great, but you got to make sure you got a counselor who understands how marriages work, because marriage can be the therapy can be very dangerous to a marriage if they're individually focused. That's why I say, you know, find an older couple that you respect and spend time with them. That can be just as powerful as the best counselor. Unless you're really facing some deep stuff, then you need to find somebody who's comfortable working with two people at the same time.
Makes a lot of sense. Before, we don't have much time left, but I do want to bring up the I word, intimacy. You know, guys sometimes think only intimacy is, you know, the physical side. Women want connection. They're probably healthier on that.
Well, men say, spell intimacy, S-E-X, and women spell intimacy, T-A-L-K.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if somebody is saying, you know what, I want more intimacy in my marriage, what do they need to do to move toward more intimacy?
Well, you know, I'd say the first thing they need to do is find out what they're afraid of.
Hmm.
Because a lot of times I want more intimacy and I blame you, but I'm just as scared of it, you know, as you are. And I, you know, I've said to people, I said, you know, if you got the intimacy you want, you wouldn't know what to do with it. It would scare you to death, you know. And so you've got to work at your own fears, because there's a fear of, there's a desire for intimacy, and there's a fear for intimacy. And intimacy is more than sex. It's more than talking. It's working together. It's conflict can be a part of intimacy. Spiritual intimacy is a strong one in terms of building a healthy, a great marriage. And there's creative intimacy. There's about eight different areas of intimacy that we talk about in the book, that you want to get a balance of those things going and not just focus on the one. Because if you focus on the one, I guarantee you that's not the focus of your partner. And now you're on two different tracks. So let's broaden the whole picture and go after the whole thing.
Great input. We're going to have to talk more about that. We've run out a little bit of time, so we'll come back and deal with that again.
That's right. This is the end of part one of what will now be a two-part conversation with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jim Burns here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme, Making a Good Marriage Great. And remember, if you missed any part of this program, we are streaming audio at homeward.com. By the way, one of the best ways to take advantage of the Homeward programs without having to think too much about it is to sign up for the podcast edition of the Monday through Friday Homeward Broadcast. If you go to our radio broadcast section at homeward.com, and hit the podcast button, you can get all enrolled for that. Also, another great way to take advantage of the resources we have available is to go online and look at the books we have, like the only book that Jim Burns has ever co-authored with his wife, Kathy, and it's a book I mentioned earlier in the program, perfect for today's topic, called Closer.
Exactly. It's the only book we've ever written together. We always say we have a high-maintenance marriage, and so even writing that book, we had some moments writing it. But, you know, it's a devotional book, Roger, and how it got started was Kathy and I had tried every devotional known to human kind. I mean, we wanted to grow in spiritual intimacy. It's often the least investigated part of intimacy in a marriage. And it was for us, I would say. And we were talking with a couple, kind of mentor couple to us. And I said, what do you guys do? And they said, well, we spend 20 minutes a week. And I thought, well, that sounds wimpy. You know, even the Christian leader. And yet, as we were driving home, Kathy looked at me and she said, you know, I'd like to do that. It's not even on my top list, but it was on hers. And so we started something that we called Closer Time, which was about 20 minutes a week. And we would look at a scripture. We would oftentimes talk about a subject and then we'd pray, oftentimes praying for our kids and whatnot. A lot of couples have trouble doing that. Well, to make a long story short, a publisher had heard me talk about this. He said, why don't you write a book? So Kathy and I wrote a book called Closer. And it's now one of the best-selling devotionals, you know, in the Christian world on marriage. And what we do is we challenge people for 20 minutes a week. And it's on topics that are important to marriage. It has a little scripture, and then it has typically a story, and then there's something called Faith Conversations. Kathy and I went through it recently, interesting enough, even though we wrote the book, and she read it to me. You know, it took a few minutes. And then we talk about it. And it's really been a great, great part of the Homeward Resource Center, if you would.
Yeah, it certainly has. And I know that people are very interested in ways that our listeners like to strengthen their marriages. And this is a good resource. And I should mention that if you go to homeward.com and check us out online, any of the resources that you see that were written by Jim Burns, I mean, we've got a lot of free materials in our articles and media section, the tip sheets and the web links and things like that. But when you go to the resource section where Jim's books are, all of Jim's books that are in print are available for purchase in our online resource center. And if you purchase one of them, like Closer, if you purchase it directly from Homeward, you get a competitive price, but also a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We're a fully tax-deductible nonprofit organization, 501c3, the whole shot. And so a portion of the proceeds goes to support us. You get the resource at a great price. For more information on how you can order a copy of Dr. Jim Burns' book, Closer, the one he co-authored with Kathy, just go to homeward.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.